is how it treats its women and girls. The smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Buckle up, buttercups. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I'm one of your hosts, Liz. My co-host, Donna, will be joining shortly. So many disturbing things going on in the world right now. And my first question is, what happened to our nice springtime weather? It's freezing today. That's my first question. But it's asked tongue-in-cheek because there are so many other important things to talk about. A lot of people, I've seen a lot of speculation online about where Kate Middleton is. Who cares? Aren't there more important things going on than where Kate Middleton is? They told us she was going to be recovering from surgery, so I don't understand the fascination there other than it's clickbait. And so Trump and Biden, that looks like to be our final round of Mortal Kombat here. And it's like, okay, Biden is losing a lot of support amongst especially younger voters because of his hands-off approach to the Israeli occupation of Gaza, and so, or the massacre that's happening in Gaza, and so I don't know if the Democratic, the DNC powers that be have gotten that memo or even care, because if history is any indication, the DNC really doesn't care about what its voters want or insist upon. The DNC picks whoever they want, puts them up, and it's, you know, as Donna says, you get what you get and you don't pitch a fit. And so after the State of the Union address, which I have some thoughts on, and we didn't get a chance to cover them last show, but after that, I have to wonder, okay, how long is this going to go on? So lots of ground to cover. Like I said, Donna will be here soon. If you want to give us a call, the studio line is 813-239-9663. Or you can email to dj@wmnf.org. So back to the State of the Union address, I was watching it and taking notes at the same time so that I could talk to you guys about it afterward. And so one of the things, I thought overall Biden appeared pretty strong. I especially liked when he would give the stink eye to the hecklers. And this is another thing too. Either we allow heckling at these events or we do not. And because all it does is it was an attempt, I think, to take him off script, and to his credit, He stayed on script despite all the interruptions. Some questions that I have are, okay, he came out swinging against Putin and Ukraine and basically did an entire roundabout when it came to Israel and Gaza. And so it's like, wait, either we're gonna criticize and fight against these people trying to seize power, or we're going to let them do it and just supply arms, which is what's happening in Israel. And so that was a turn my head to the side like Scooby-Doo, huh? You know, wait, you just got done saying what Putin was doing was wrong, and now we're on the Israeli side, and now it was a soft sell, like, oh, we should make sure that they protect the civilians. Well, that's not happening. That's not happening, and civilians are being killed. Innocent people are being killed every day. Yes, I understand there are Israeli hostages in the Gaza Strip. Why are you doing things that's putting them at risk? It's like since the beginning of this so-called war, they've been storming in, and a lot of the casualties on the Israeli side are from friendly fire. So you're extinguishing human life on your own side, and your hostages that you claim that you want back so badly, what good are they going to be after you've riddled them with bullets or bombs? It's just very, very disconcerting to me to look. I mean, just from a human being perspective, the loss of innocent lives. You see these people who are on the brink of literally starving to death. And then you see Jared Kushner making a statement that there's very valuable potential for Gaza's waterfront property, and said that Israel should remove civilians while it cleans up the Gaza Strip. And it's like, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. This is where these people, these are their homes. This is where they live. That, though, signals to me, it's like, yeah. So in addition to oil and such, maybe the end game here is to just extinguish everybody that lives in the Gaza Strip and then make some high-value waterfront property down there. And it's like, on what planet do people even think of something like this? And so I was just outraged when I heard this. And, you know, I haven't heard whether Jared Kushner is still on good terms with Trump, but I think the philosophy here is the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, once we've, you know, gotten everybody out, we'll go ahead and develop the Strip. And it's like, why can't people leave the land alone?
You know, we keep saying that it's not colonization, but anytime someone, usually a Caucasian individual,
oh yes,
says, hey, you know what, that land over there,
right,
looks amazing.
Yeah.
Let's put those people somewhere else.
Right.
And let's have that because it's going to give us the value.
Right.
That's colonization. You don't even, it's not even thinly veiled.
It's not. I mean, he's just flat out saying it. Oh, yeah, well, go ahead and move those people, i.e. Drive them out or kill them, and then we'll clean it up. Well, yeah, because Israel's been bombing the hell out of it. I almost said another word.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
Then we'd be over the barrel here.
So you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call, 813-239-239. 9663. Donna and Liz in the house. You can also email to dj@wmnf.org. But it's like, I mean, it's so distressing to me that nobody is holding Biden's feet to the fire and saying, hey, we need to get ahead of this. You know, we need to make sure that they don't harm civilians, because that's all they're doing at this point is harming civilians. Because
that's all they've been doing since the very beginning. I mean, literally since about 4 days after October 7th, which is my birthday, by the way. And literally the way that whole thing went down was I was just in another universe. I was in celebrating my birthday by myself because I can't. I'm too old now to handle parties.
I beg your pardon. Did we not go to the skating rink?
During that day, but that evening, instead of being like out having a blast, right?
Yes.
I was at my house, like, you know, eating a cake with one candle in it. And I literally didn't catch this whole thing until the next day.
Mm.
Right. We've got a lot of people calling. We're in it now.
Yeah.
But before we go to the call board, let's clear the emails.
I don't know that we have any yet.
We do. I saw this. That was before us, but it was talking about a blogger, a Palestinian blogger. So I thought it was us. Let's go to the call board.
Okay. Let's talk to Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran.
Hi. Listening to Amy Goodman and all the horrors that are going on in Gaza. And it's all such cruelty. Such, how can people be so cruel to other people? And it's like, it's a thing that spreads sometimes in history, especially, I guess, like in World War II with the Nazis, it spread it to people there. I think about here when I hear about Ron DeSantis encampments for the homeless, and he has a cruel streak. Doesn't something associated with him go back to
Gitmo?
Oh, yes. I heard a lot about that, and it's just that it's scary to think about this, and it's like a sickness that spreads. We have to stay on top of this. That's all we can do, and be aware of it. And, you know, we hear what's happening. And Biden, I'm not going to vote just now. I have decided he'll get my vote for president. But, he just has to start coming around more to what's happening not just be so passive
right.
about it. It's like I'm just naming things from World War II, like Neville Chamberlain and people like that, just saying, oh, Hitler, he won't be so bad and everything. Yes, it got bad.
Yeah.
So we just have to keep fighting this. It's a little different, and yet it's just the same. The players are all there. They're just in different parts, and, you know, that's what I wanted to say today. So thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you so much, Fran.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And Dr. Maria Cole has joined us via Skype. Not Skype, Zoom. I'm giving myself
a... How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay over here on the East Coast.
So we just ripped the Band-Aid off the whole thing, and we're talking about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So we're taking calls now. We got a couple lined up. So here we are talking to Ray in Lakeland. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great. Hey, I just kind of so we've got a war in Israel. We've got a war, in Russia. And we are on two different sides of that. That's how I see it, you know.
Yeah.
On one side, we're giving a bunch of money to people so
right.
that they can fight for themselves. And on the other side, we're giving a bunch of money to an occupying force that's controlling people, denying them any personal government rule. I mean, the people of, you know, the Palestinians don't have say-so. The Israelis have all of their information, all their social security numbers. They give them the right to work or tell them that they can't work. And then we've got a president in the middle of it that, you know, is essentially doing what he feels needs to be done here and what he feels needs to be done here. And there's no accountability.
Right.
But the issue for me, and I'm hoping that you very intelligent women can make it make sense. We've got two guys running for president, and they don't have, neither of them have a number two that we're thinking, well, if something happens, this person would be more than qualified. Well, you know, that guy's got grandkids that he should probably be spending time with. Why don't we go ahead and pass the reins? I mean, in any regular job, we'll say, at some point you've got the old guy at work, and he says, yeah, I'm training these young guys up, or I'm bringing these young guys up, showing
right.
what they need to know. We don't have any heroes in politics.
No.
I think it makes sense.
Absolutely. 100%, Ray. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes,
ma'am. Bye-bye.
So the only thing I had for Ray was this isn't a war. The Ukraine and Russia is a war, not an even, you know, match there.
Right.
But there's artillery on one side, buoyed up by U.S. funds and armaments. And then there are a superior power, right? I don't know if it's a superior strategy.
Right.
But definitely more firepower and more people on the other side. This is like a behemoth of a nation, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the United States, it makes sense in theory that the United States would come in and try to help even that up for whatever their reasons are, right? Because
right.
Russia, right?
Right.
What's happening in Palestine, that what the state of Israel is doing is not a war. That is an offensive against mostly, like almost totally helpless civilians. Not only helpless civilians, but civilians who are compromised in that they don't have the life ground. They need the food, the clothing, the shelter, the dignified existence that from which a people launch if they don't stay there,
mm-hmm.
and which people launch war from a place of clean clothing, uniforms, bullets, guns. They have none of those things. They have never had any of those things as a collective. So this is definitely not a war. This is just an open genocide. I've got an email from, let's see who this is here. I've got an email from Bubba. Hi, Bubba. You know, we know you're a repeat performer, frequent flyer. Good morning. I was surprised that Meatball Ron was trying so hard to appease the Israeli government. I'm not a big fan of him. He has a meaty head and sounds like Paul Lynde. That's fun, Bubba. That's fun.
Meatball Ron.
we have some other shows that cover this stuff, and they're all very serious.
Yeah, right? Very serious.
Very serious. I think that, you know, we are your comic relief. Even when we cover heavy topics like this, we're always going to try to bring some levity. We're not making light of the situation, but we thank you for joining in with us on that. We appreciate you guys. It's the tone of how most of you are approaching this, because it's happening. We have to discuss it. And for those of you who are asking, why are you continually discussing this? You know, this is not just something that's happening in the world. It's not just geoglobal politics. This is history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to be studied for hundreds of years.
Right.
Like, this is going to be like Waterloo. This is going to be like, you know, Alexandria. This is not just a normal everyday occurrence. And we're going to look back on this with so much regret as a human race.
Well, yeah, and our ancestors are going to, I mean, our progeny mm-hmm. are going to say, why didn't the U.S. do more to stop all this slaughter?
So let me say something about that before we clear this board, because we see Sister Kelly and Jiminy and Simon. We're going to get to here. Just hold tight for us, especially Simon. You've been holding the longest. Now, I just want to say that the question keeps coming up, why? And so when we're talking to you guys about Black lives and the struggle for Black liberation, when we're talking to you about picking on immigrants, you know, people who have nothing and who are just trying to find their way in this world, the world they did not create, the politics that they do not have a significant say in. They're just trying to provide food, clothing, education for their children, you know, some stability, a piece of this world. It's a very vast and wealthy world. And these people don't have what they need to survive. And they're going to, as you would if it were you, mm-hmm. And there are those of you who are so arrogant as to say, it could never be me. And I don't want to preach at anybody. I mean, I do, but I can't do it here. I don't want to do it here. But the reason why is because we, as individuals sitting in our chairs, in our homes, driving our cars right now, think of ourselves as different or better
right.
than any other group of people.
Yes.
I had to stand up, y'all.
She's on the soapbox now.
I got to say it. That the reasons, right? Like, we're going to be academic about this. We're going to be precise about this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go all over the place. It's a very simple thing, right?
Right.
This is not some, we don't need to make this into a wall of chalkboard of like hidden figures type mathematics.
Right.
If you say the reason why those people are having such a hard time is they don't manage their government, I ask you, do we manage our government?
No.
Our government is out of control.
It is out of our control.
Like, so much of what's happening. Look at, we want them to have a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
I have flown to D.C. on my own dime twice. Okay? I have put on my suit and I have knocked on the doors of my congresswoman, Kathy Castor, of Cori Bush to thank her, of I talked to Cori herself, Rashida Tlaib to thank their staff, Andre Carson to thank their staff. I've went around and around and around and around. And let me tell you something, nobody was up there. Nobody was on the Capitol Hill. And this was like, after I was there for a giant protest, and protests are great. You know, I run a couple myself. A couple large ones, a couple of massive ones, right? But they're great. But there was nobody there knocking on the doors of the people who make the decisions. So we have to hit them in their offices. We have to hit them on the streets. And I just need to say that it's not that hard, y'all. All we have to do is say we deserve something that others don't deserve. And then that thing just snowballs until we're like, let's just take that beach right there and put those people in the desert. How does that even sound? Let's take the beach and put those people who have been there since the temple was on the mount and put them in the desert. That's how it happens. So, you know, you guys, I would love to hear what you guys have to say about how you think it happens, because we're still saying the same thing about Germany in the 30s and 40s. How did that happen?
How did it happen?
This is how it happened.
All right. So here comes Simon in Lakeland. Hi, Simon.
Hi. Good morning, ladies. I just wanted to add some clarity that some listeners stated last week, mm-hmm. very quickly, and I'll move on,
okay.
about Norman Finkelstein.
Mm-hmm.
He was not pressured from the outside. He was pressured from the inside. In a French interview in 2012, he called the BDS movement a cult.
He called it a what?
A cult.
Okay. Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he called it a cult. And after that, he was persona non grata. Previously, he had over 80 lectures a year at the Palestinian Solidarity Movement. After that, he was nothing. Academically, he's a political scientist. He's not a historian. Couldn't get a job for 7 years. Lived in Brooklyn. There's 15 to 20 universities within an hour of where he lives. He had to fly to Turkey to teach a course there for a year. 18-hour flight there, 18-hour flight back monthly. Okay? So that's the situation with Norman Finkelstein. If you look up his blog, his YouTube, he's got like 3,000 subscribers. He was just persona non grata at Cambridge University. They were going to have a panel discussion. Two people from Gaza were going to talk along with Norman Finkelstein. You know who pushed back on that? Not Jewish groups. The two people from Gaza said we're not going to be on the stage with someone who desecrates, religiously almost, BDS. Now let's move on.
Okay.
Okay, the United States does not have allies. They have interests.
They have what?
Interests.
Okay, countries have interests.
Yeah, okay, that's
they
fair.
They don't have allies. Mm-hmm. If you look at the fact of World War II, we fought Japan. Now, we fought Germany. We were friends with Russia, so on and so forth. I think you get it.
Mm-hmm.
The Israeli issue, the foreign issue, now has become a wedge issue because of what we have on college campuses today versus decades ago. Foreign issues were not that important. It was primarily driven campaign, and Donna can attest to that, primarily driven by domestic issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so the issue at hand over in Israel is one of now it's brought to the forefront. And so people are very misinformed also with regard to military aid to Israel. 7 out of 10 Arab countries in this world get more aid than Israel does. And the aid it gets, the military hardware it gets, has to be purchased in America. So it, in essence, is a USA-subsidized military purchasing in the United States of America. Okay, the last thing I want to say is, America, if you're truly thinking of who your interests are, can you imagine what kind of world we would have in the United States had a Palestinian Arab not killed Robert Kennedy?
I don't want to go there, Simon, because I really don't think, yeah, no.
Why not?
Well,
why
not? Many reasons. Why? Number one, I have absolutely no respect or regard for Robert Kennedy. And Sirhan Sirhan was, I mean, it was not politically motivated at all. In fact,
it was.
Okay.
It was 1968 because military hardware was being sent to Israel. The United States has an arms embargo against Israel from 48 to 67.
Okay. So let me look. We can revisit this topic next week. I will look into it. But to my knowledge, this was not a politically motivated shooting. But
and
anyway.
I know someone's going to bring up the USS Liberty. Let me put that to rest. There's been over 11, not one, two, or three, 11 commissions on the USS Liberty.
Okay. Got to let you go because I've got other folks in the queue, but it was good talking to you, and I'll do my homework.
Thank you, Simon.
Take care, ladies. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
So I just want to drop something in on Finkelstein here.
Hurry, because Jiminy's been holding on forever.
All right. So the problem is that, well, you know what? I'm going to table that.
Yeah, table that. Mm-hmm. Put a pin in it. All right. So, Jiminy and Valrico. Hi, Jiminy.
Hey, love the show. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for holding so long. We had a lot of people to get through.
I know. Everybody's been saying real interesting stuff, but I wrote a little something that I hope you'll let me read. It talks about, I'm touching on a lot of different thoughts that I've been having lately. So essentially I've been thinking about how America, like, historically is referenced as like the American experiment. And personally through like my understanding of history and my, you know, I like to focus on people and I like to focus on, the people that make up the places. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I feel like the American experiment was to genocide the indigenous population.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. something that they could make money on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's been the basis that has led to like everything that we do in America was used, like American, sorry, I'm jumping again. But American propaganda was used to inspire, right, Hitler and the Nazi Party to do what they did. And I don't think it's a far stretch to say that like Israel is going to build a canal once this genocide is over, and America is going to make money on it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Money drives the whole thing.
Yeah, and I don't think colonialism ever stopped. I think Kate Middleton is being used as a global distraction.
Yes.
Like the royal family always does when there's something that they want to bring people's eyes away from. And I think that the invasion of Rafah, it's happening quietly. It's already happened. There's no turning back, right? So we have to figure out a way forward. Other nations have started calling America a corpse with its fingernails still mm-hmm. growing. Mm-hmm. That's a direct quote. Ooh. I heard on the news the other day.
That's
a good one. I like it.
It's a little ghastly.
It's because our leaders aren't listening to the constituents. Like you said, people go, they knock on the doors, and they're literally handcuffed for saying, you know, save Gaza, stop the genocide. They're arrested and taken for protesting, which is a First Amendment right. So our leaders aren't listening to us. They're gaslighting us. Mm-hmm. When we try to tell them what we want and how we feel, because they want to convince us that they care and that they're going to make change, while also taking money from the people telling them to do the terrible things that all of us don't want them to do.
Right.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head, yes.
Right. And so, so I think the American experiment's legacy is to exploit and use those that the mega rich and powerful deem as expendable.
Right.
And that's always going to be indigenous. It's going to be the poor. It's going to be migrants. It's going to be the disabled. And it's going to be the people that don't use their voice.
Well, we can go back a little bit further with that. I think that the arch colonizers was the empire that the sun never set on. Was the British, and what they did in Africa was a blueprint. Not only what we did here with indigenous and First Nations people, but what Japan tried to do to Korea, what Mussolini did, what Napoleon did, what Stalin did. They were all following that blueprint of the British, the United States, the child of the British Empire that was supposed to be the refuge for people who were escaping it, has become even worse than the British Empire by using their imprint. So we want to make sure that we kind of pan out and we show. And this goes back to Alexander. I don't call him the
Alexander
Great.
Alexander the Great.
Goes back to Alexander. And so colonization is not a new thing that was invented by Americans. It's been on the planet for, you know, a couple thousand years. Rome.
Right.
Right? Rome. They endlessly expanded until they were crumbled from within, kind of like what's happening here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thanks so much for calling, Gemini.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
So I want to give people a little bit more. I'm going to take about 1 minute to do this list.
Okay.
Expand the Finkelstein thing. So basically, you know, what Simon was referring to, for those of you who don't want to go and dig this stuff up, is that he is saying that essentially if the right of return, equal rights for Palestinians, if you cover a few tiers, that would mean the end of Israel, you know? So that sounds like to me, as a black person, this is what I hear. Let me tell you what I hear. If you give black people equal rights and equal access,
yes,
then all white people are going to be poor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's, you face that every day here, right?
Right. Yeah. And so the fear you see with Ron DeSantis and the fear you see with other elected officials around the country, you know, saying that you can't refer to watermelon because they don't want the thing to get out. I don't believe, though, that liberal white folk here, that some of these people are my friends and family, right? So don't be at me saying I'm racist, right? Because I'm not. But you have to look at what you're seeing and call it what it is. I think a lot of liberal white folk, it's not coming home to them that you're championing the cause of Palestine, but you don't want that same equality
here,
land back for indigenous people in the United States. And that's the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go any further with that. I would just like for you all to think about what it would look like when you are criticizing the Israelis who are terrified of these 2 million people and the 6 million around the world, right? The diaspora. Think about what it would look like in this country if you were to pay black people's descendants of slaves for the wrongs done to them. That's right. It's in the trillions. And if you, when adjusted for inflation
right.
and all of the benefit of generations of wealth that were created
right.
by free labor,
there's
by
no way. People, there's no way that there's adequate reparations.
You'd empty yeah. out the coffers.
Right.
Right. And then if you gave the land back, yeah, that's what would happen. If you actually did it, but no one's going to do it.
No.
So you guys don't get upset. Don't be shaking and stuff. Taking, you know,
nobody's coming for your land.
Nobody's coming for your land. It's not going to happen. And there are a lot of things that have been done to make sure that never happens.
Yeah.
But when you're thinking about freeing Ukrainians and when you're thinking about freeing Palestinians, I want you to think about that house you're sitting in. And if someone were to come and say, you have this as ill-gotten gains,
yeah.
and we're going to take this back. And we see what happened, how people responded when the South Africans said,
oh,
we're
yeah.
going to take, 95% of the people in South Africa are black. When those folks said, hey, you don't have any rights to be here anymore, I didn't see the liberal elite or the liberal politicos here in this country back up and say, you know what, that's fair. I've never seen American people who are so energized for this talk about land back for indigenous folks in the United States.
Right. You know, don't hold your breath either.
Right.
Let's talk to Sister Kelly. Hi, Sister Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you for this subject. My heart is very heavy because mm-hmm. We experienced just the same topic of divide and conquer mm-hmm. from my ancestors. They were killed. They were bombarded by the powers of peace in World War II when I came into being. And we are going about our ways of being so hypocritical and so self-righteous when what's happening to people like us on the other side in Palestine. And Netanyahu is all about protecting his own. And he feels that the Palestinians are less than.
Oh, very much, yeah.
We need to bombard the White House with telephone calls and all the other stuff that you guys can do. I can't. But bombard our local, our politicians. And it is so a moment of crisis. And thank you for your program.
Thank you for calling, Sister Kelly.
Thank you, Sister Kelly. I just wanted to add to that I don't think that Netanyahu is championing the cause of the Israeli citizens.
No.
They are clearly out of sync with him, and this was ongoing prior to. This is not a collection of bloodthirsty people, although we see a lot of memes about IDF soldiers and their depravity. I think there are a lot of soldiers that are defecting from the forces because they can't do what they're being asked to do. And I think that there are quite a number of people. I don't want to throw a number out there because I haven't looked at this, but I know that there are lots of Israeli citizens who are sick about it.
Yeah.
And don't want this being done in their name. And we need to lift their names and their voices and their faces and their stories. It's hard for them to get, you know, to go against their government and to have for their stories to get out. But we've seen the marches in the streets of Israel.
Yes.
And we know that those people are there. And we should definitely not pretend as if all Israelis are down for the cause. The other thing about Netanyahu, before we go to DeAndre in Riverview, is that the desire for conquest, seeking success, recognition, and the mean to prove competence, it's a coping mechanism for a sense of inadequacy, which you will find historically in a lot of our despots and strongmen.
Mm-hmm. All right. DeAndre in Riverview. Hey, DeAndre.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you guys for holding this conversation. I want to speak to that mental health aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's enough therapists in the world at this point to sweet talk us through sometimes what we're witnessing going on around the world, whether it's Haiti, whether it's over in Gaza, Palestine, the Israelis who are here, you know, and there who are pushing against this injustice. And that's the thing, you know, it seems more to me now that therapists are just there as a mechanism to help stabilize things, but where justice has failed. And that's what I wanted to say. And also, this whole, I apologize for detouring, but when I have to talk about Haiti because it's just right down there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to that, how did these rebels engage in this rebellion? Though I don't know the extent of their action, whether it's been horrifically malicious and deadly, to the effect that it's being portrayed. But how are they simply gang? I don't want to disrespect anyone who's had the experience and knows his scholarship well enough or has scholarship well enough, but how is that not a rebellion? And all the fighters engaged simply gangs. Is it just because they're black? Because, I mean, rebellion is their history.
Right.
And unfortunately, sanctions are their reality. I would rebel against sanction for the whole of my nation or my people's region's existence. You know, however, that should be better put. I apologize. But, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. And, you know, free Palestine.
So you have to understand the history of Haiti and who was involved. I'm sorry, it's not funny at all.
No.
But that's uncomfortable laughter, you know. I think that understanding the history of Haiti and how the black folk in Haiti winning their revolution and gaining their freedom, and how countries that weren't even involved, like, you know, so the Netherlands or something, they circled Haiti with ships for 3 years, threatening to put them back into slavery.
God.
You know, if they tried it again. It had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It's just like white people caping for white people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colonizers caping for colonizers. And Haiti, unlike Germany, which almost took over the world, right, and slaughtered 6 million innocent people, were not really forced to stay on schedule with their repayment. They were allowed to default on the loan. And they tore the world apart, right?
Yes.
Scarred untold number of children, changed the trajectory of future generations, cost the United States, USSR at the time, and Great Britain, untold amounts of dollars, put the squeeze on the population because war is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And there were rations, right?
Right.
With food and nylons and all sorts of essentials, flour. And after they did that, bomb shelters, traumatized, PTSD, you know, millions of children around the world were not forced to pay their reparations, which is how they came back for World War II, by the way. And Haiti, on the other hand, DeAndre, was forced to sell its public school system.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
Dang.
Google that. To pay for the revolution, right? Like,
wow.
When Liz, you're a lawyer. You know what happens when the legal fees get passed on.
So, hello, hey. So that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it right there,
mm-hmm.
Legally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of my point, and particularly how Haiti fighters or militias or gangs are portrayed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
They're called gangs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give them that rebellion or rebel label, and therefore you can't address them as, fighting for, you know, significant, you know, independence and, you know, humanist values. You can't do that when you're calling them gangs. It's like thugs.
Right.
The rationalization of thugs, which was ridiculous, particularly when it had, for a time, and at least 4 years, but particularly lobbied against black people here in the U.S.
You know, I want to push back on that a little bit, right? I can see what it looks like. But when we had the Zapatistas in Mexico, the Tupamaros in Venezuela, we lionized those folks, right? We showed them the Tupamaros with their assault rifles, semi-assault rifles, with the masks on their faces, you know, holding up their fist. We lionized these groups. We glamorized them. I feel like in Africa and in Haiti, even the narco wars that go on in northern Mexico down in Sinaloa, we glamorize that. Queen of the South. We talk about, what's her name?
Sofia Vergara?
Yeah, no, the one she played.
Oh.
Oh, the godmother?
Yes, the godmother. And we can glamorize any type of outlaw, right?
Right.
Or revolutionary that we want. But when it's black people, they're just roving hordes, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so you can see that even there's the double standard. It's like how we try someone who was killed by the police who was unarmed. Mm-hmm. Even who, Philando Castile, who said, hey, I have a gun, and then the officer blew him away.
Yep.
And then they say, well, right? And so when we, and I was going to say something about something that happened downtown, but I'm not going to go out there like that. But we paint the picture in the media of people that we want the world to see. So black men with guns are gangs, and people who are white or white adjacent with guns are outlaws.
Right. All right, DeAndre.
Thank you.
You
got it.
Bye-bye. All right, now let's catch up on some emails, because now we got a bunch.
So I've got Ola Sterling Voices, Local Heroes. I really like you continuing to talk about this. Like climate chaos, this horror of Zionist genocide of Palestinians has global ramifications, which are already infecting coming generations infinitely. It is not the only place where genocide has happened and is happening. Until the perpetrators at Netanyahu Zionist USA, all supporters of this genocide are seen by the entire world for what they really are, colonist profiteers using every tool to fulfill their total autocratic power goal. This will get worse. Until the perps sit down at the table and talk it all out, nothing will change and more devastation will happen. We also need to remember the autocracies are varied. Both extreme right and extreme left love dictatorships. Thank you for this focus. Tina in crazy Brooksville.
Tina in crazy ass Brooksville. Yeah. Yay. Hadn't heard from her in a while.
Thank you, Tina, for that. I'm so disappointed by, this is David, I'm so disappointed by DeSantis and his conservative takeover of New College. He installed a slimy lobbyist as provost, for God's sake. And blowhards like Chris Rufo to the Board of Trustees. Who slipped a Rufo in my college? I see you.
Good one, David. Mm-hmm. I have one. It's from earlier on. Let's see. All right, this is from Maverick in Brooksville. Lots of Brooksville folks today. Great show, lots to discuss in too little time. If we don't start getting behind Biden now, it's going to be too late. All those people that say they won't vote for him because of Israel will default and not vote, and Trump will win. It's turned out abysmally low historically. It's a long game. We have to start early and tell people that this is their only choice unless they want fascism, authoritarianism, and white supremacy to take over the United States again. They say history repeats itself. Let's hope that's the case with Trump, because he will win if turnout is pathetically low. Maverick in Brooksville. Sorry I read that so haltingly. I do not have my glasses. This is the problem I have with telling everybody to get on board, Maverick, is because when Biden ran the first, well, when he won this time around, this was his third try at getting into the presidency, which is, I knew when he said, I will only run one term, I knew that that was not true, because he's been aiming for this for too long. And so he gets in there, and statistically, this man has got maybe 5 years left to live, and we're going to take the chance that he's going to get through one term, number one. Number two, I certainly do not appreciate the way that this candidate was crammed down everybody's throat by the DNC. I mean, you didn't have any credible challengers. And so how does that happen unless, you know, everybody's been told sit down and just sit on your hands? Because, you know, if, Donna, what do you have to say? I mean,
I have to say someone called us here. And they said, they left a Google voice message about people needing to get on the good foot and vote for Biden. And I have to say, it's a bad year for us to, you know, play chicken.
Well, yeah, but
we've been doing this dance for a long time.
Yeah.
And so since we're on the subject of chickens, I'll just keep going. Or like we're using chickens as a, you know, metaphor. I will keep going with chickens. So chickens, come home. All right?
Yep.
Eventually, your chickens will return. And so the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, if you like that one, you will see the results of your behaviors in the short of it. And so the Democrats have been proffering empty promises for votes.
For a long time.
For a long time. And now, and because these are mostly just wealthy people who are trying to convince you that they're on your side. Someone said this already today. While they're, you know, serving themselves extra helping.
Sure.
Right? While you watch outside starving. And so, and then all of these things about our economy are going out of control because we didn't put proper checks on capitalists. And so now people are suffering. And no one's in the mood for any more empty promises. And like I said, I agree with you because there's several emails here about this. It's a bad year with Trump. And we don't know if Kushner, you know, is connected to Trump at this point and advising him on Israel. But there's a very real possibility based on current polls that this thing is going to devolve quickly. But I understand how we got here, and you guys should too.
All right, let's talk to Jack in Dover. Hi, Jack.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I will make this very, very quick, because I know how your listeners all like to, you know, call in, and I do as well. But the scenario that I look at coming from a military family is that we have the greatest military in the world. They make the best decisions given the worst case scenarios. And yes, Gaza is a worst case scenario. And it's horrible when people like the Hamas use their own family members as a human shield. But it didn't work with Saddam Hussein, and it's not going to work now.
You realize that a lot of people consider that Israeli propaganda, right?
I do. But this is the scenario, and I want you to focus on this. If a person toting a gun were to go into Walmart right now, what the Trump believers are saying is that the police should go to Walmart and build an apartment for this gun-toting thug.
So we don't have very much time.
We got to let you go, time. Jack, because, yeah.
Thank you, Jack.
We're running out of time. And
right
that's,
at the end here.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
not.
So that's like saying if a gun-toting guy went into Walmart and shot five people, that the police should come and shoot everyone in Walmart. That's the story that you need to tell, Jack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, rolling back to 10-7, I didn't fault them for trying to go in and get their hostages.
Not at all.
But weeks later, it became apparent that that's not what the real thing was.
They
that's
were even being what, offered hostages. They weren't taking them.
Right. All right. So Frank just gave me the finger. That means it's time to wrap it up. Thank you all so much. Oh, we're going to be at the Pride Parade on Saturday in Ybor. So come out and see us. And maybe we'll bring some of them Surly Buttons with us. So join us next week on Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5.
I like dollars, I like diamonds, I like stunning, I like shining, I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? Touch.
I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong. I do what they say I can.